Trey Hendrickson requests a trade, and who would a Bengals pick at 18? Coming up next on the Cincinnati Podcast.
It's an exciting time to be a Bengals fan.
I'm AC Zell.
We got a special show, as always.
The voice of the Bengals.
Dan
Orr.
Willie Anderson.
Corey Dillon.
The name of this thing is called Cincinnati, and I'm not going to stop.
Talk to us about that roller coaster season.
I'm still going to give you the same AJ.
I'm going to work as hard as I can to be the best.
Always working ever since I met y'all, boy.
I
got to
get you a top five receiver.
Water, man.
It was good.
For
real. Watch out for us.
Welcome to the Cincinnati Podcast. Crazy day today. It's been a lot going on. Like, I know me and you have been talking. It's been stuff going on. I was in the middle of probably like thinking like, man, who are the Bengals going to take? Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. We hear reports of, you know, the Bengals possibly trading up. Like, that came out today from ESPN sources. So, like, I'm excited. And then I get this notification. And I almost, to be honest, I thought it was one of those fake accounts when I first got it. And I'm like, hold on, nah, this can't be real. This got to be from my burner. You know, sometimes your burner send you notifications. You ain't got the mute on there. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, nah, this is Adam Schefter. This is the real Adam Schefter.
This is the real deal.
This is real that Trey Hendrickson has requested a trade. When you first seen that notification come through, what was on your mind and what are your thoughts on like this whole situation?
So much to unpackage with this, man. I just felt like, first of all, how's everybody doing today? You know, I thought it's super unfortunate. It makes me feel like the relationships with the agents in the Bengals just aren't strong. I don't really blame the player. I kind of side with the player to a certain extent. I do think he's underpaid, but he just signed that extension 9 months ago. So I feel like the agent just didn't do – I thought at the time, I was like, bro, that's a sweet deal for the Bengals and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like a lot of people are like, man, see the Bengals, da-da-da, here they go again. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, like he just signed this extension just 9 months ago. So his business is business. If he wants a longer-term deal – let's work it out. But to me, the relationships aren't strong enough because this is a moment like me and you, we talk all the time. Mm-hmm. And if we got someone on our mind, you know, like I'm not going to the internet with it. And that goes for all that. That's every single thing that you could think of in life. There's a lot of people that got my phone number. And if they would have just hit me, we probably wouldn't have whatever. It wouldn't be funny right now. You feel me? So I feel like the Bengals, no matter how bad a situation could have went with Trey Hendrickson, y'all just did a deal 9 months ago for the agent to feel like, look, they aren't responding to none of my stuff. Da, 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 da. No matter how angry you get, I just couldn't see a situation where the communication lines are strong where you would do that. Because out of all that mixing stuff go, what happened and all these different things, a lot of the behind the scenes stuff never really came out for the most part. They had a really good relationship with his agent. And I just think that like some of the agents or whatever in, you know, the Melaghetta one the same way or whatever, it's like this new 2024 version of agent in social media meeting it that they don't understand that the Bengals are still operating like 1990 in the sense of business is going to be through a lot of handshake stuff. It's going to be a lot of old school and it's a lot of different things that we're going to stand on. We get it. We're not giving out large guarantees for guys getting close to 30. We're not giving out large guarantees for wide receivers that aren't playing full seasons of football. I understand that. But if you do produce Trey Hendrickson, you're going to make $20 million this year and $20 million next year. And we made a deal. We signed a contract. Let's talk about this. Come in my office. Maybe we could add another deal. I do think that they owe him another deal. And then watching guys like Brian Burns go and get their bag, I'm like, yeah, give him give him an extra $5-6 million. The Bengals barely spent anything this offseason. But let's talk about that. This reactionary thing going to the internet, I don't know how long this has been going on, but it's not going to work like the way that they think. And if you're threatening to retire, I just seen that happen before where Mike Brown's going to say, I hope you got leather on that couch and I hope it's comfortable because like this is what it is. And if another team wants him, whatever, I'm not even listening to you because I'm not in the business of making nobody better. And maybe that's a pride thing. Maybe that's whatever thing. There might be somebody that's listening right now and be like, Bengals got to pay him. I'm sorry. I'm not catering into none of that. Y'all just signed this deal 9 months ago, and it is what it is. Can we work with you? Can we do some stuff? I don't represent the Bengals or anything like that. But there's nothing that makes me feel like the Bengals did anything wrong in this instance. I do think systematically and organizationally, they need to change some of the different concepts and some of the things that they do, like paying guys older and guaranteeing more money. But that's a whole separate conversation versus you just signed the extension 9 months ago. You're on mute, my boy.
Yeah, for me, man, it was just extremely disappointing to see, man, when I got the notification, I just was just like, what is going on? You know, immediately in my head, I'm like, what's going on? I haven't, you know, talked to anybody, so this is not us shedding light on any, like, inside information or anything like that. So I'm just like everybody else. This has kind of caught me by surprise, and I'm just wondering, like, what's going on behind the scenes for this to be an offseason where not one but two Bengals are saying, hey, I want out of Cincinnati when this team is in the middle of a Super Bowl run. It just doesn't make sense to me. The Trey Hendrickson thing, I don't understand it either because, like Zim just said, he just got the extension. The only thing that comes to mind, like, that I'm piecing together is he must have looked at the market, and especially with, like, the D-tackles. The D-tackle market has exploded. The edge rushing room market has exploded. He's coming off of a year where some people would say he should have been a runner up for defensive player of the year, at least been in the conversation because his numbers put him up there. He had more sacks than Myles Garrett. But when you look at his contract, it is somewhat of a bargain. It is a situation where I could understand why Trey would come back and say, hey, this doesn't match my play. Is that enough for him to request a trade? In the NFL, that's typically how things happen. A lot of people are just like, either trade me, I don't like the coach, I don't like the culture, or I don't like the contract. And in that situation, I can't fault him for doing that, but I don't know what the conversations are behind the scenes in terms of what the Bengals may have promised them, what was said. I don't know if it's a year's thing. I don't know if it's a total guarantees thing. So right now, I'm not going to, like, give any judgment on the Bengals or Trey until I have more, like, information on what exactly the actual holdup is. So I hope that these two sides can work together. It's kind of crazy. I was just telling Zim, day before free agency, we get the T. Higgins news. Day before the draft, we get or a few hours before free agency, we get the T. Higgins news. A day before the draft, we get the Trey Hendrickson news. The only thing that I can say is that Trey Hendrickson is the best player on this defense. Like, he is the best player. His impact is definitely going to be felt if he is not there. I don't know, like, what the whole retirement thing, like, I don't know if it's that he's beat up. I don't know if it's that he's trying to get leverage that way.
Leverage.
But to me, like,
that's a leverage play.
You move on from him and you draft the edge, like, who's giving you 17? Like, nobody's giving you
17. I'm not doing it. That's why I'm not doing it. That's why I'm standing on business. I'm not doing it. Like, there's no scenario that you could give me. I don't care if it's a first-round pick. I'm not doing it. I don't feel no type of way about the amount of the money that he's being paid. He's like the probably 12th or 13th highest paid edge. The contract that I got is favorable for my franchise. So, unlike the T. Higgins one, you're like, man, I got to pay $22 million against the cap, against a guy that only had 700 yards. Like, okay, send me an offer. There's no offer that anybody could send me for Trey Hendrickson that I even think makes sense. Unless it's like catastrophic, like unless it's like so insane. Somebody sending like a first and like a second or something crazy. And even still, you're telling me I'm in a Super Bowl window. It's just risk involved with that. And I'm like, bro, you just said 9 months ago that you're happy that the Bengals took a chance on you. And I want to cite this too. Section 8A in renegotiations and extension of the CBA. Players cannot get a new contract until 12 months from the date he signed an extension. So to even say that I want a new contract or something like that,
it can't,
and you're not even, you can't even legally sign it until 12 months is insane to me. Like to me, it makes me be like, okay, like, I'm sorry that you're feeling that way, bro.
Do you think that's because he knows it's not coming? Do you think that he spoke to the Bengals and they're like, nah, we're not, like, whether that's a couple months from now or not, we're not giving you any kind of pay bump?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the agent, I don't want to speculate, but
I think it's
got to be something like where maybe he knew that the Bengals aren't going to move that thing, move the contract forward, because they just don't believe in it from 30-plus-year-old players. And the messed up part about it is that they're like, well, let's just take advantage of this opportunity because the draft is about to come up. Maybe we can get you traded before. And I'm like, who is this casual? Like, this is Mike Brown. He's not going to cater to that. Like, T. Higgins is the only – isn't T. Higgins still the only player that has remained that's currently right now that's being franchise tagged? All them other dudes got contracts except one guy that's currently in negotiations right now. Mike Brown does not care about what anybody else is doing. That's why I'm like, y'all couldn't just get on the phone and, like, have a good in-depth conversation about how this is going to go. Even if you thought you might retire, make that news come out later behind the scenes, and then maybe we wonder later on, like, damn, he just abruptly retired like that? That's why I said the relationships aren't strong enough for, like, stuff like this to continue to get out there.
To me, overall, like I said, it's a bad look for the franchise when two of your top five players, I'll probably say right now, currently on the roster, request stuff like that and make it seem like they're not getting the commitment. And I'm saying, make it seem like I don't know what the exact actual thing is. And then, I don't know, man. It's just, I'm hoping for the best in this situation, for it to work itself out. It's going to have to play out. These things normally do. We all have been kind of through this roller coaster kind of thing before, so we kind of know what to really expect. But I will say that the Bengals need to change their ways, man. Guaranteeing money after year one has to happen, man. This is not the old days of football. I'm not sitting here saying that they need fully guaranteed contracts. But, you know, getting something in year two at least has to start to happen, or else we're going to see a lot more of this, because that's just the way that the league is heading. It doesn't have to do with, to me, in my mind, it doesn't have to do with an agent, a particular agent. It seems like all of these agents are on board with, hey, we at least have to get guarantees past year one. And you had to expect for that to happen after the Bengals opened up the money bag to drop on Joe Burrow, after they did the whole thing with giving OBJ the big signing bonus. But also because people know that they're going to pay Jamar Chase as well. So it's going to be time for them to change their ways and adapt to some of these new things. Now, again, I am not saying fully guaranteed contracts at all, but just guaranteeing money in year one is just not going to fly going forward, especially when you're sitting on money currently right now. Like, people are going to look at it and be like, what's going on? We got the pay bump from the money that was the extra 20 million, 30 million. Like, what are we doing with it? So we'll see what it is. Shout out to the regular dude. He said, I'm looking like Marvin Lewis with the polo. This was actually from a friend of the show. He actually pulled up when we actually pulled up.
Yeah.
At barbecue. He dropped these polos off.
Who was that guy, bro? I remember that. I still got my polo. Who was it that gave us those polos?
I don't know, man. I know his, like, Twitter name. I don't know his real name, but shout out to him. He's probably watching right now with the 265 watching live. So appreciate you, bro. I felt like I had to. I mean, we had to.
I feel like the background you got, too, is it looks like the new Bengals office and everything like that, too. I'm like, bro, Trey Hendrickson then requested a trade. My man Ace went to the front office and said, let me in. Like, oh, no, this man, has got to stop.
Let's get this out. We need Trey, man. We need Trey. But like, I will say this.
Let me in.
I will say this, and I said it last night, and shout out to Malik for having us on last night. if Trey Hendrickson is gone, bro, I'm all in on offense. I'm telling you, I'm
for all real? In. I thought you was going to say you all in for Edge.
Nah, I'm all in on offense. Nah, bro. Unless we're getting the Edge that's like Myles Garrett, I'm all in on offense. We do have a special guest that will be joining us, big guy in the draft community. Our guy Kyle is going to join the show pretty soon, coming up next. We are going to go ahead and shift gears. But before we do, Zim, was there anything that you wanted to put a bow on the Trey Hendrickson saga before we take a look at the draft and what the Bengals are going to do at 18?
No, it all said they're going to ace Brown. That's crazy. Yeah, man, I think, you know, I love this is the reason why I feel like you could probably either hate or you could love me like on Twitter, because I'm not going forward in no circumstances. Like, I'm going to stand up for the Bengals like no matter what. I don't care what happens. Like, you can't get me to flip on them because I watch so many people hate on our team so much. And I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But this is why I stand up, and you know, I think this is why we created Cincinnati, because it's a bit of a mindset. Like, I don't care that Trey Hendrickson requested a trade. I'm still cooking. Like, I don't care. Like, I feel like Trey Hendrickson, like you said, I've championed a lot of things that you said, but I think that the Bengals have more to offer Trey Hendrickson than Trey Hendrickson couch. And I, and me knowing that, I'm like, bro, either you with us or you not. And that's kind of like my mentality. And a lot of times it could come off the wrong way, but it's hard for me to poo on the front office when I think they've done a really good offseason. And in this instance, they just signed this deal 9 months ago, and I really just don't fault them. I do think that they need to strengthen up their relationships with the agents. And I do agree with you. They have to structure their contracts, all of their contracts. Currently, right now, they're only guaranteeing at a 30% threshold, whereas like a Mulligetta and his agency, they're all at 65% guarantees for like their top clients and stuff. So these are the things that have to change to go and change that gap. But in the meantime, like, I'm sorry, I'm not folding. And I just think that the Bengals are still a really good football team. I don't think that currently right now their roster is Super Bowl caliber, so to speak. But I think they have a chance to do that. And that's why I feel like guys like Cal coming in and talking to draft boards are very, very necessary. And we're right back on course.
So with that being said, we will now bring on Kyle to talk about the draft.
I'm really the best in the league. You know that. Y'all better respect.
Kyle, what's going on, bro?
Man, 24 hours. I'm watching Daniel Jeremiah's final mock on my phone just to see what. He's obviously as plugged as anyone, so you know.
Bro, I was just looking at that as well, bro. A lot of linemen going off early. JC Latham,
five.
Well, JC Latham before Joe. Oh,
well, I tweeted about that earlier. That if you look at Greg Roman, 8 of the 9 years Greg Roman's been offensive coordinator, they were like 29th or fewer in pass attempts, like.
It makes sense, pretty bro. Clear.
Didn't I tell you this morning, I said, Ace, I said, you know who would love Latham? I said that. I said, I don't know about that spot, but if you want to run the ball, J.C. Right. Latham is a guy, you
he
know.
He fits that Greg Roman scheme for sure to a T.
Man, what?
Yeah, I think Dane Brugler said he's probably the strongest player in the draft.
Oh, Kyle. Yeah. You cannot move J.C. Latham. That is one of the things that I wanted to – to try to get across, because I'm like, bro, if Latham gets his hands on you, there is nobody bull rushing him. There is nobody getting past him.
Kyle, just for people that aren't familiar with what you got going on, please make sure before we even start this up, I met you through Spaces. Me and Ace met you through Spaces. I've seen you several times. You've always came in Bengals Spaces. I always value your opinion. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and give them a little background of what you do as far as the draft goes.
Yeah, appreciate it. Luck is made, FF, Kyle Lindeman. Pretty much been, you know, a football fan all my life, but kind of been making, like, fantasy NFL draft content, like, the last couple years. So, pretty plugged. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm plugged. I'm getting there. But I would say I've pretty much studied, like, just about everyone in the draft for, like, the last year. I've been so excited for the 2024 draft. Like, this is a really special class. I don't think it's a deep draft because, like, We've got the lowest number of underclassmen in this year's draft. I think it was 54. That's the lowest number since 2011. I think that's like almost half of what it was then. But it's a very star-studded class. And that's a whole nother conversation with NIL and why guys are going back to school and all that. But yeah, man, it's just been a fun run. I feel like I've done like a whole year's worth of work that's now coming into like just 3 days. And, you know, so it's like I'm going to be relieved, but then like sad when draft weekend's over. So
so no more mock drafts and everything like that.
Yeah.
We're done with it. Well, shoot, you got to get ready. You got to start looking at, you know, some of the college guys and just start the whole start the grind all over again. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, next year we're probably going to have like three shutdown corners in the draft. And I know that's a conversation for another day, but I think I'm more worried about the quarterbacks for next year. I just don't know how that's going to look.
I've been hearing that too. I've been hearing that as well. Like you could see a lot of, so like, just talking to draft in general, do you foresee a lot of movement happening because there are, you know, so many teams that need a quarterback and so many teams that next year the quarterback class is kind of weak? Like, do you imagine, you know, possibly 5-6 quarterbacks being taken before we get to the 18th
pick? Yeah, I'm going to say 5 because the Vegas odds were like over under 5.5. I don't see 6 because I just don't see Bo Nix as that guy. I kind of see Bo Nix going, you know, early, mid, day two. I do think Penix is going to sneak into round one. He's just gotten a ton of buzz. Like, if you even look at the odds, his draft positions, I believe, on FanDuel was, like, over under 32.5, and the under was at, like, minus 250. So they're feeling pretty good. And, I think a lot of teams like Penix. He's really battle-tested, you know. I think, you know, tackle is probably the deepest spot in the draft. So I think Bengals fans are kind of like, hey, you know, who's going to be there at 18? I think that's really the biggest question. I think my ideal fall for you guys would be Byron Murphy. If he could somehow fall to 18, like, oh, my God, if you could somehow get him, or obviously Bowers. But I just don't see Bowers falling past the Colts. I think you'd have to come up to get him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Murphy, I guess, like, in everything that you've been checking out and everything like that, what makes it what makes Murphy stand out to you? Tell everybody what you feel you think he offers, not just for the Bengals, but for any team.
Well, I think it's like you look at the defensive tackles that got paid this offseason. Like, what's pretty much one characteristic that they all have is that they can get after the quarterback from right up the gut, which is there's just, you know, I grew up watching Warren Sapp, like, those guys just don't grow on trees. That, like, they can stand in there, defend the run. You never have to sub them out. And, like, third down, this guy's pinning his ears back. Obviously, Aaron Donald would be a lofty comp. I don't want to compare rookies to Hall of Famers, but, like, he's a little undersized, but, like, he's just got, like, such strong hands. And, like, I've never seen someone who, like, hates being blocked as, like, much as him. He, like, takes it personal. He's just got such a mean streak. And, you know, he's definitely, like, a three technique defensive tackle. But, you know, I think you guys did a good job this offseason, you know, obviously with DJ Reader being gone, of, you know, bringing in Sheldon Rankins, in which obviously he's not DJ Reader, but it's kind of hard to pay Reader what he got. So I feel like he could play next to him, and that would be, you kind of rotate them with, you know, BJ Hill, and I like that.
For sure. Like, you kind of talked about corner earlier. Corner is one of the positions that some of the insiders with the Bengals analyst, Dave Lapham, he's kind of talked about them possibly going after one in the second round, maybe the first round. Who are some guys that you kind of feel like would fit the mold and be productive corners for the Bengals?
Well, I think that – I know what, Mike Hilton's pretty much going to play nickel this year, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So we got Cam Taylor-Britt outside. We got, you know, DJ Turner, who I liked throughout the draft process. Man, I love this Mike Sanristil guy from Michigan, man. Like, yeah, he's a little undersized. He's not a big corner, but, like, he was, like, the captain of Michigan defense. Like, this guy's so smart. I think if he was 6 foot, like, he wouldn't get out of the top 20. He's a slightly older player, so I don't know, you know, if you feel like you need another nickel. I would say maybe outside corner, maybe someone to keep my eye on might be Andrew Phillips, this guy from Kentucky, like super athletic. He's been really rising up the draft boards. Kind of wasn't someone that we heard a whole lot about. Maybe TJ Tampa, depending on where he goes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you now, I think the guy that I think is going to fall is Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's got a Jones fracture in his foot. He really got outplayed by Terry Arnold last year. I think he's kind of riding high on the name and like his, you know, five-star recruit status from like 3 years ago. I'm not saying Kool-Aid McKinstry is going to be a bust. I just, from watching the tape, I just don't think he's kind of lived up to the hype. So I don't have him going in round one. Not to say he couldn't, but like, he kind of strikes me as a guy who could fall tomorrow. Not that I'm rooting against any of these guys, obviously, but just from the way that I'm looking at it, like, I think you've got, you know, three premier corners in the draft, obviously, like Terry and Arnold. I kind of have Quinyon Mitchell one just because I think he's got a little bit more upside. Terry and Arnold, good corner. He's just got, he's so sound, so much technique, but he ran a 4.5 flat. Like, you know, look at me sitting at home. I'm calling a guy that runs a 4.5 slow. Like, you know how that is.
Yeah, but that's the nature of the new NFL, though, man. Like, if you're not 4.4 and up, like, they just don't even look at you sometimes as like an outside corner at all.
Yeah. And I really like Nate Wiggins too. Like, I know he was a little light. I think he weighed in at like 173 at the combine, and like, they're like, oh, he doesn't like to tackle. So with him, it's not that he doesn't like to tackle. I just think he just needs to be refined. But like, let's be honest, how many corners are tackling? Like, I feel like that gets so overblown. Like, Deion Sanders was the best corner I ever watched in my life. Like,
he wasn't tackling nothing.
So, I don't know if he's someone that Duke would like at 18, but I don't think Bengals fans would be too happy about a corner. But like, I like him. I obviously love Cooper DeJean because like, you can just line that guy up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals have had like a history of you know, like just getting guys that could tackle. When we signed Trey Waynes, I consider him one of the best tackling corners in the NFL. When they got Eli Apple, Cheeto Bayouzia, these are all guys that are pretty sound tacklers. So that is something that I think they kind of weigh in a little bit more than average teams, and then they rely on scheme a lot of times in coverage.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like wide receiver in round two for you guys is kind of the sweet spot, to be honest with you, because we've got the three big receivers who I think are all going to go in the top 10. Brian Thomas, I'm like super intrigued by, but I'm not necessarily saying that he's like, you know, a sure thing. So that kind of like wide receiver 5 to like wide receiver 14, like those guys are so close to me. So I don't necessarily think we're going to see as many receivers as we think tomorrow night. I say 5. I don't think there's going to be more than 5 because I think a lot of these teams are looking at round two. Like, this is such a deep class. Like, I can get a receiver in round two. Like, if I don't get a Dunze, obviously Harrison, a Dunze, Neighbors, depending on where you have those guys in order. I think those guys are all elite. You know what I mean?
Who are your 5? Who are your 5 wide receivers that you think go first round? Because a lot of people debate that.
I think Brian Thomas, just solely based on size and speed and like the fact that this guy just like absolutely murdered the combine. And he's got a basketball background. So he's someone that is still learning to play. Obviously, you know, he played alongside Malik Nabers, so like so much opened up for him. My surprise pick for tomorrow is going to be Keon Coleman in round one.
Keon Coleman in round one. I like
it. Maybe to Buffalo, because just the way that they play, that wouldn't shock me. He was kind of another guy. Like, he ran a 4.61, right? And here I am calling this guy slow again. But he actually reached, like, the top. I think he hit, like, 22 or 23 miles per hour during the gauntlet drill, which was, like, the fastest of any wide receiver the last 2 years. You know, he actually played basketball for Tom Izzo at Michigan or Michigan State. And just a really, really good athlete, but he's just kind of one of those guys that he's built like a small forward, but he's only like 6'3" and a half, so he doesn't really have like a true basketball position at this point. So he just kind of got phased out, but he's a guy that I really like.
For sure.
And I think
Go ahead.
I just feel like people have been dunking on him throughout the process. They're like, oh, this guy can't separate. Like, this guy can't run. But like, dude, you put on the tape and like, he's just like mossing these dudes like all over the field. And like,
thanks, for sure.
You know what I mean? And I, he's not Bills even 21.
I was going to say the Bills. I think that they're going to try to make a statement and trade up.
That's very possible.
Who do you see for the Bengals in terms of wide receiver fits? You kind of talked about second round guys. Who are some guys on day two that you think the Bengals could possibly be looking at?
I thought Roman Wilson, because he can kind of fit in the slot and kind of play that Tyler Boyd role like immediately. And he's a little smaller guy. He's only like 5'10", like 185. So, you know, I think that depends. Like if you don't, you know, let's say, I know Bengals fans don't want to hear this, but let's say a year from now, T. Higgins isn't a Bengal. Like, how good do you feel about Roman Wilson sliding in as your wide receiver two? Obviously, you're going to have an easier job being across from Chase, but like, I think maybe that was the question I had. I'm like, can this guy be like an out? You know, he's probably going to be, I mean, I guess you don't really need another X next to, you know, Jamar Chase, but like, is this guy more of a slot or is he kind of more of like a Z? So that's probably a good question.
Who can kind of play all three positions? Because I've heard
– I would say Ladd McConkey. Like, okay. He's got deceptive speed. He's just one of those guys, like, you – for some reason, like, it, like him not being fast doesn't, like, register. But, like, he's just got, like, such quick, like, twitch movements and stuff. He's so good with, like, the head fakes and, like, getting open. I don't know that he's going to be there when you guys pick. Xavier Worthy, obviously, would be crazy because that would just be so much speed. I really like Xavier. I'm starting to like Xavier Leggett more. I think my concern is like this, he just really didn't do much his first 4 years, but he was awesome this year. You know, he kind of had some personal tragedy, like, you know, in his own life, kind of went through some stuff the last couple of years. So like, kind of more I learned about him, I was like, man, like, this is a guy I really like to root for. But I think that's my question with Leggett. Like, sometimes for wide receivers, we talk about early breakout age. Like, you get your guys like Jamar Chase and some of these other guys, Justin Jefferson, guys that were like breaking out and doing things as like freshmen versus like, okay, I'm 18 years old. I'm playing against 21, 22 year old DBs and I'm dominating them versus, okay, I'm a 23 year old receiver and I'm playing against 18 year old, defensive backs. I feel like that's kind of a different conversation. And that's partially why I'm probably a little more optimistic on Xavier Worthy. Like, this guy had 900 yards receiving as like a true freshman.
Facts. Talk about it. Talk about it, man. Lost comparisons, man. I don't know.
I think Worthy, you were talking about like just moving him around. I think, you know, Jamar Chase is a complete X, but I think one of the things that the Bengals do need to do, and I think this is why Ace asked that, is they do need to move him around and get him in the slot. And they actually brought in a guy from Minnesota that's used to moving Justin Jefferson around. So I think the Bengals are going to opt to get a multiple wide receiver, a guy that can line up all over the place with Yoshivas already on the team that will kind of carry some of the X or in some of the Y stuff on the outside. Moving forward, I think we've talked about, you know, like the sexy picks, I think a good amount in the trenches. Who would you deem in that spot? You talked about the pick early on going with Murphy. You think would probably be like one of the best bets for the Bengals to go. Is there an offensive tackle that you could see realistically that you think that the Bengals could that they could take at 18? And why do you feel that is a guy that would be legit at that spot?
Well, I think if you're a Bengals fan, you got to look at it like this. Like, this is probably the highest we're going to be picking in the next 5 years. Like, we don't plan on picking at 18 again, right? I think every Bengals fan feels that way. So, like, what's a position that we can get at 18 that maybe we're not going to get at 28 or maybe we're not going to get at 32. And obviously they signed Trent Brown, but like, that was only a 1 year deal. He's too big. He cannot play guard. Like, he's just a tackle and that's fine. So I almost wonder, like, okay, he's on a 1 year deal. Like, we want to protect Joe Burrow. That's our biggest investment. So you possibly could draft a guy who could play guard for a year or two. And then if 2 years from now, you know, Brown's not on the team, you move that guy to tackle. And so a guy for me would be Troy Fontenot, the left tackle for Washington. A lot of scouts really have him more projected inside as a guard, but he's got that flexibility that he could move outside. Another guy would be Graham Barton from Duke. He played left tackle, but this guy was actually playing center at the Senior Bowl. So he can play all five positions on the line. I think if you really want to get crazy, you take Jackson Powers Johnson at 18 because, like, that guy is just supercharged. He's not just a center. He can play guard, but, like, he's probably not going to play tackle. But some people did have him mocked to the Bengals. That might be a little high, but like I feel like you know what you're getting with that guy. And eventually he could play center. Now, is that too high? I think most people view that too high for a center, but if a guy could play guard too, then I might say, okay. There's a Marius Mims from Georgia, but he's a project. I mean, well, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say he's a project. He just hasn't played a lot. He only has 8 starts.
Keep it real, Kyle. Keep it real. We want the
this
real.
This guy wears like 340 pounds, like better than any person I've ever seen in my life. It's like you think he's 340 pounds. You're like, oh, this guy's fat. He's out of shape. And it's like I've never seen like a human being that big. But I don't know how well he projects at guard. So maybe this Talies Fuaga, if he's there at 18, he's the right tackle from Oregon State. I think he's better as a guard. Duke Manyweather, you know, who runs like the O-line academy.
Yeah.
He's legit. He comped him to Mikey Iupati, who
was
drafted as a tackle but played guard.
He played with the Seahawks, right?
Yeah, I think originally the 49ers, but he,
okay.
You know, I don't know if he really has the bend to kind of get the edge rushers off the, you know, the edge, but like, I don't feel like that's a bad pick for the Bengals. Like, if you can get one of those kind of swing tackles at 18, they're like, hey, maybe this guy's our right tackle of the future, left tackle of the future, but we can play him at guard for the next 2 years, like while we figure the rest out. Like, I don't think that's a bad move at all.
Right. Now, outside of the Bengals, are there any moves that you just think that are just no-brainers or something in early in this draft that people aren't thinking about right now? Like, is there anything that just sticks
out? Minnesota's getting a quarterback, whether it's McCarthy, whether it's Penix, whether it's May. I mean, they're it's basically like they're playing poker and like they're at the river and like 75% of their chips are already in the pot. Like,
right.
You just got to go in at this point. I mean, I feel like Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals is just so obvious. Like, it makes too much sense. Like, you're trying to build, you know, you're Monty Austin for it. You have all these picks. Like, they've got the most picks in the draft. Like, well, why would you trade back? Like,
right.
You don't have talent. Like, you need to lay the foundation with like high character, hardworking, like good players. Like, they did that with Paris Johnson last year. Like, do that with Harrison. And now I feel like you can get a better evaluation of what Kyler Murray is. So that feels pretty set in stone. I'm not buying the quarterback hype for the Giants, man. Like, they've got so many holes, and like, you're just, I mean, if I were the Giants, I would try to find a way to move on from Daniel Jones. I think we know what he is, but like, I just think they're at a point where like, I don't know that they have the most job security. So like, you're in year three now, you really regressed last year. Like, you're going to restart with a rookie quarterback. That I like McCarthy, but he's not situation proof to me. Like, if he goes to Minnesota, I'd feel good about him. If you stick him in New England, I'm like, I'm scared shitless, because he's going to need guys around him to develop. You know what I mean?
Nah, for sure. So, for sure.
I feel like Philly really needs a corner, but I don't know. We'll see.
Now, there have been rumors of them possibly moving up for one. Defensive interior. Talk about some guys that you like that, you know, obviously you kind of talked about Byron Murphy, but Johnny Newton, some of the other guys, Rook. Talk about some of those guys that are out there, and then your prediction for what will happen with T'Vondre Sweat.
I think I like T'Vondre Sweat. Like, he was, I think, 366 pounds at the Senior Bowl. Another guy, he carries that well. He's so disruptive against the run, but he can get after the quarterback a little bit. I want to say he had like 31 pressures. I don't have the data in front of him. I think he had like 31 pressures on PFF. I mean, and he only had 2 sacks, but like, dude, if you're 366 pounds and you can even get after the quarterback a little bit, like, and you're going to just clog the middle on first and second down, that's pretty good. I would say my like sneaky guy would be Michael Hall, defensive tackle from Ohio State. I think if he goes back to school this fall and he's in the next year's draft, I think he's a top 20 pick. Like, because he's another guy with like that athleticism. He's young. Like, he can get up the gut. You know, he was given Blake. And that Ohio State Notre Dame game, like, I was watching on tape, he was just giving Blake Fisher fits. Like, They would have him in the middle, and they kept stunning him outside, and he was just getting around Blake Fisher. Like, so I would say him. He's kind of a younger guy. Mason Smith from LSU.
Yep.
He's another guy. He's super young. He was like one of the highest recruited guys 3 years ago. He actually tore his ACL like celebrating a sack. I think it was like last year. He literally missed like the whole season. It was either celebrating a sack or like a tackle for a loss. Like it was like, how does that happen? I really, really like him. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Who else we have? I know there's a guy. What's that?
You got Dwayne Carter, who's out there
from Duke.
Yeah, that was actually the next guy that I was gonna say.
We on it.
Let me pull up my notes here, guys. I'm sorry.
Lil Wayne.
I try to be able to recite this stuff, you know, from memory. Oh, Chris Jenkins.
Somebody said Brandon Fisk.
Chris Jenkins
for sure.
Yeah, Chris Jenkins, another guy, because like he grew around the game. I like Fisk too. I think my only thing with Fisk is like he's already 24.
All right. So I don't think, and the Bengals generally don't go for the older guys. Ace, do you I'm know did Jenkins come in for a visit, a top 30 visit or something?
I believe Jenkins did. I know that he's extremely high on the prime board. I'll check to confirm, but I believe he was one of the visits that they had in.
I could really see, yeah, like if they didn't do the first round, you know, D tackle, which they haven't done in 30 years. Like the Murphy one is very, very enticing. And I think most of our fan base would be like, I would be going crazy. They just haven't done it in a long time. But I do think there's a strategy where some of the guys you're naming now, I think, are very, very realistic.
Jenkins, yeah, did for a top 30 visit, just to confirm.
I would say another guy who's really kind of fallen off would be Leonard Taylor from Miami. I mean, this guy a year ago, like we were talking about this guy going in the first round. He kind of had a little disappointing season. He had a little bit of a disappointing combine. But 2022, this guy had 10.5 tackles for loss. He had 3 sacks. He missed a couple of games this year with a knee injury. So, you know, he didn't necessarily have the best combine. But, you know, he'd be a guy I'd like to investigate and like interview and like figure out like, okay, like what happened? Like, is there something going on here? Can we fix it? You know, can we unlock these, you know, traits that, you know, people saw in you before? So he would be a guy, and he's still 21. So I do like guys like that
because Justin Herbert was kind of like that coming out, right? Like if he would have came out the year before, he's like probably the number one pick. He goes back. As a little bit of a down year.
He'd be a giant.
Right, exactly. Like, I feel like I've heard that a lot of the times. Juju Smith-Schuster was one of those where he was supposed to, if he came out the year before, he was going to be the number one guy, ends up going back. I think he also had, like, it was an off-the-field issue or something like that. Then he ends up going in the second round, and it kind of ends up being a bargain because it's like, all right, last year, this guy would have been selected a few rounds before, so you kind of get that bargain in him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to draft the 24-year-olds on day one or day two, but, like, we get into day three, and, like, half these guys aren't even going to make my roster. Like, just give me good football players at that point. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I draw the line.
Nah, for sure.
Kyle, let me ask you this before we let you out of here, because we got to close it out pretty soon. But let me ask you this. Did you have any thoughts on, like, you know, like T. Higgins or
Jeremiah? He's got Murphy, Byron Murphy, going to the Bengals at 18.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
That's what a perfect pick that would be. What
Charles Davis, I think earlier had Bengals getting Bowers. But did you have any thoughts? I know it just broke right before we did the show, but like, did you have any thoughts on like Trey Hendrickson or what you maybe would do?
You guys did right by him. You gave him a new contract within the last 12 months. So like, I get why T's frustrated because he's seeing all these wide receivers get paid. I get that the T. Higgins one is so hard because I get why the Bengals want to keep him and I understand why he wants to get paid. The Trey Hendrickson one, like, dude, you signed that contract. Like, I don't know what you want. But as far as T goes, that one's tough because I just think, like, you're going to have to pay Chase. Burrow already got paid. It's just going to be too hard from a cap perspective. That you want to tie up that much money into two receivers and a quarterback. Like, I get why you had both of them, because the most important thing was helping Burrow develop. But, like, now that Burrow, you know, he's not on the rookie deal anymore. So, you know, at the same time, what could you get for Higgins? If the 49ers can't get a first-round pick for Ayuk, what's Higgins going to fetch? So I think that, you know, if Carolina would part with 33, I think I would take it and try to, you know, reallocate some resources back into the rest of the roster and take advantage of this year's wide receiver class. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what you've been offered. So that one's hard to say. And, like, you guys are trying to win now at the same time. So, right?
I feel like the tag works for both parties. He's getting paid $21 million coming off a 700-yard season. If he does really well, I think earlier in the show, you were saying, you know, Bengals fans probably don't want to hear this. I think a lot of us has kind of come to grips. This is probably the last hurrah. Yeah. Like, the agent and him just don't mix well. In the front office just don't. But one of my beliefs is if he has a really good season, then the stock of T. Higgins goes up dramatically. And I think that you do find a good trade partner next year.
Yeah.
You tag and you trade.
I would agree with that. I mean, I like next year's receiver class, but I don't know if it's going to be as top heavy as this one. We'll see.
Right. Okay, Cal.
The title 12 months out, but.
Cal, where can everybody find you at on Twitter? Where's your stuff at? Make sure that you kind of plug everything that you can on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Luck is made FF. I pretty much got my whole, like, writing portfolio. I'm trying to get my YouTube channel. I've got a bunch of stuff out, trying to get that up and running, you know, do quite a bit of YouTube shorts, TikTok, you know, gotta stay hip with the new gen. You know, it's not about reading. People like their video. So I've been trying to, you know, be good with that. Yeah, I'm just excited for NFL draft. I, you know, have plenty of good content coming out the next 3 days. So hope you guys enjoy the draft. Thanks for having me. And yeah, you know, appreciative of the, you know, Bengals fan base, because they really kind of supported me when I was first starting out, and, you know, kind of helped me build up my following too. So thank you.
I remember you coming in spaces early on, and you know me, I'm very, very, like, I don't know about this guy. But I was like, you know, like, he's not always, like, glowing reports for the Bengals, but he always is, like, you know, really, really in tune with football. You love football, and I'm glad that you had the time to come on with us today, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoy the draft tomorrow, and, yeah, hit me up anytime, all right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Kyle. That was Kyle coming on. Definitely be sure to check out his draft content. And his Twitter for sure definitely has a lot of insight. Sometimes he's in spaces as well, so check that out. And then he also said that he's on TikTok as well. Be sure to get a follow. But Daniel Jeremiah, I don't know if we want to touch on this real quick. The Daniel Jeremiah mock draft has officially dropped. A lot of reasons that the people really gravitate to this is because he hears a lot of things from what could actually be happening. So I'm going to go through this real quick. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, J.C. Latham at 5 to the Chargers, Malik Nabers to the Giants, Joe Alt to the Titans, Dallas Turner to the Falcons, Olu Fashanu to the Bears, Rome Odunze to the Jets. We also have J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, Fuaga. In a trade-up where the Eagles move up to take Fuaga, Michael Penix Jr. to the Raiders. So that is 5 quarterbacks going before the Bengals. Troy Fatanu to the Saints, Brock Bowers to the Colts, Terrion Arnold to the Seahawks, Quinyon Mitchell to the Jags. So 2 corners going back-to-back. Then the Bengals at 18 get Byron Murphy. Then Amarius Mims goes. Tyler Guyton goes to the Steelers. I know a lot of Bengals fans will be excited to hear that. Johnny Newton goes to the Dolphins. Bo Nix goes to the Broncos. Chop Robinson goes to the Vikings. Grant Barton to the Cowboys. Cooper DeJean to the Packers. Jared Verse to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Latu to the Cardinals. Brian Thomas to the Bills. Kool-Aid McKinstry to the Lions. Nate Wiggins to the Ravens. Xavier Worthy to the 49ers. And A.D. Mitchell to the Chiefs. What is your immediate thoughts on Bengals getting Byron Murphy? It seems like he's expecting a run on tackles. And he kind of tweeted that out earlier. He said that he had five back-to-back calls that basically everybody's trying to trade up for a tackle. Is that who the Bengals are possibly trying to trade up for? Is that why they're trying to move up? Is it that they're trying to secure one of these tackles?
I don't think that they will move up for one of the tackles. I feel like if they're going to move up, I know everybody thinks I'm crazy. They're going to move up. It's going to be for Brock Bowers, or it's going to be like I hate to say this, bro, but with the T. Higgins thing, you know, going crazy or whatever, or like the whatever, I don't even see them moving up for a D tackle. I just don't think that the gap is that wide enough to make them move up. Do you? Like, do you feel like the gap from Byron Murphy and Johnny Newton, who a lot of people – where's Daniel Jeremiah even have Johnny Newton?
He's got him going to the Dolphins, like, right after Byron Murphy. Right after okay. You take Byron Murphy,
basically. So those are the two guys. But, like, the drop-off from him, from them, yeah, like, that's what I need to see. It's just not big enough of a gap for me to say the Bengals should move up to go get it. And it's not that I don't think that Byron Murphy and Newton are phenomenal. I just think that if you're the Bengals, you don't give up draft capital to go and make that move. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to move up, it's going to be for something crazy like Joe Alt, one of the top, like Brock Bowers, or like one of the top. Not even Fuaga, because I think that they would look at Fuaga as a guard, and the Bengals historically just don't play guards. They don't.
And that 12 spot is where the Broncos were, so he's saying that the Eagles would move up to 12. I know me.
I think everybody's trying to get to that 12. Everybody's trying to get to that 12. He's got Bowers going. I don't even see Bowers.
He's got Bowers going to the Colts.
18. Yeah, and see, to me, if I'm going to move up, you know, like, I don't know what the Bengals board looks like, but a team that hasn't taken a D tackle in 30 years and historically just doesn't value D tackle at that level, I don't know if they value Brock Bowers at that level, but I know that Joe Burrow and his staff do value weapons. I could see them moving up in that 12 spot and getting Brock Bowers right there. I think you have to get ahead of the Colts. I think the Colts not taking Kenyon Mitchell right there is a little, you know, think about this. They're on the board with the number one corners right there. I think Brock Bowers does make too much sense. It does for that team. It does. But they're going to have the same conversation that we're probably having about, do you take the luxury guy perceived versus the positional value of a cornerback when the Colts are on the board? They just lost their CB1. They're going to be on the board with the number one and the number two cornerbacks on the whole entire board, and you're not taking one of them? I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I trust Daniel Jeremiah, though.
I'm looking at what he had last year in his last mock draft. He had Bryce Young. He had C.J. Stroud. The interesting thing is he also had the Texans moving up to 3. To get Will Anderson. Remember that? Like, I thought that was a shock, but he had that. He did have the Colts taking Will Levis, though. He had the Seahawks taking Jalen Carter. He had the Lions taking Witherspoon. He had Gonzalez going to the Raiders. So this isn't set in stone. He did have Bijan to the Falcons, right? But there's stuff in here.
It's that.
Go ahead.
No, I was just looking at it. I think the Titans. I can see the Titans trading up with the Chargers. Chargers only go back 2 spots, get like a pick or something like that. I think the Chargers want – I think they want Neighbors, bro. I think the Titans want Neighbors.
The way that I'm looking at this, like let's say the teams aren't
Falcons
right.
Falcons got to go players, defense. I love this players, mock.
Say the players go in this range. This looks like the Bengals would be looking at possibly Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, Brock Bowers, Troy Fitano, Amarius Mims, Newton, and Byron Murphy at 18.
Murphy makes so much sense. It's the reason you don't sign DJ Reader. You know that you're giving him the 500 snaps. He's the best D tackle on the board. That's the only hole that the Bengals didn't fill in free agency. He makes so much sense. But Brock Bowers getting that close to you. I just don't, you know, like, I think they got the ammo to go and move up in that 12 spot, and I think they'll do it. I do think
and that. And you kind of talked about the Jets.
I love this board.
We talked about the possibilities of Brock Bowers earlier, and we were talking about the Jets. And I think I had said to you, I was like, bro, depending on how these wide receivers fall in the top 10, if one of the wide receivers that the Jets didn't expect were there, they're going to pick that guy. And like Adunze, they're going to pick Adunze over Brock Bowers, in my opinion, because Aaron Rodgers,
I think so too,
would want to side with the actual receiver versus the tight end. So, like, that's a scenario where it could happen. And then, like you're saying, if they get to 15 and the Colts really are all in, there have been reports that they're trying to move up for a corner. I don't know if I see them passing on a corner there. And that's all it really takes for Brock Bowers to essentially make it to the Bengals.
I think this is so real. To me, out of everything that I've seen, this is exactly how, in my mind, I think that it would go. The Falcons, their defensive edge is not good enough. They've already got, like, and somebody talked about the Bears earlier. They was talking about, like, maybe they'll get brought out. Bro, I looked at the money that they're paying tight end position for the Bears. I'm like, and so everybody's saying he's going top 10. I'm like, how? You couldn't be at the Titans spot and go Brock Bowers over Joel. You can't be at the Falcons spot with Kyle Pitts and take another Brock Bowers after you failed doing that. You couldn't sell that to your fan base, and they need an edge so bad. Olu, you see what the Bears have done in the offseason. Now, I don't think that their wide receiver core is crazy, but to me, I probably would go O-line in that spot too for them, but I think that they might be the wild card that takes the wide receiver. And if they do, then that means that the Jets probably go Brock Bowers. And that's the part that I think that's the world where the Jets will go 10. But once you get past then, you know what time it is with the Vikings. The Broncos at 12 trading with the Eagles, I could see that happening 100%. But at the same time, the Eagles, yeah, they're not coming up for it. You know what I'm saying? And then so everybody says, how could it happen? It's very real. I think it's very real, bro. Like the one, yeah, JC, I said this to you this morning. I said, bro, teams are very high on JC Latham. And there's no world I could see JC Latham maybe get into the Jags, but the Jags could not skip out on JC Latham to me. I don't know.
No, I agree, man. I mean, there was a tweet that I had a while ago, and this is when the draft first started. The first thing, and I mean, I'm not going to say that Lance Zierlein is the end-all, be-all, but I've always enjoyed looking at, like, his prospect grades and stuff like that over the years. And when I looked at the one for J.C. Latham, number one, he was, like, by far the number one graded offensive lineman. But the one note that I remember that stuck out, and I think I tweeted this or a picture of it, it said that he spoke to, I believe it was like a executive in the league, and the executive said that by far the two best guys at tackle in the draft were J.C. Latham and Joe Alt. And he was like, and I think Latham could be better than Alt in the pros. And so, like, when I saw that, like, it's kind of not too crazy for me to see. And I kind of wanted to see, like, is it going to be a chance that he could be tackle one and these are the first two guys taken in the draft? So we'll see tomorrow how that plays out. But, yeah, that's kind of crazy that Daniel Jeremiah is putting that out now, because I don't think I've seen anybody have a mock draft where Latham was tackle one. But, yeah, you're right. He won't be there at 18. We kind of figured that once we saw, like, the top 10 visit teams and stuff like that. So it is what it is. But Bengal side of things, man, get ready. Bengals are getting a whole new player tomorrow. Zim, let the people know about Playback and where you'll be during the draft tomorrow.
Tomorrow I'm going to be on playback.tv doing a live stream of the draft, so you'll be able to watch the draft with commentary. If you ever want to talk ball with us, come on there. Come and talk to me. Ace, I don't know if y'all have any time to swing on through there or whatever, but at some point, try to come through. We'll talk on there. You can get a microphone. You don't have to show video. You can talk on there. Really excited to talk to the fans. Really excited to we'll have a live chat in there as we're streaming it live on there too. So you'll get my live reaction. I'll have my video on and it'll be fun, man. I'm really excited. I know that a lot of people are kind of bummed out about the Trey Hendrickson thing, but I, you know, I talked to you about this beforehand. I just don't think that that changes anything for me. Like, I don't know why they're doing this, but I just think that we're in for a crazy night, bro. I really do. The best thing that I think that's going to happen tomorrow too is that I think you're going to get a lot of action. You got a lot of teams that don't have that many picks at the beginning of the draft, and they're going to need to get some more picks and look for the Bengals to maybe even move up, man. If you show me a board that looks like that, I could see the Bengals drafting Murphy, and I wouldn't, and I would love it. But I also see a world where I think they can make something happen, because the teams in front of us, I just don't think have the luxury to take Bowers, bro. And without that, the testing and all these different things and how we got here, let's talk about it. I'll be starting up on there as early as like 7:30, 7:45, something like that. But playback.tv, look up Ringless Bandits. If you join on there now, I'm going to put a link in the comments on YouTube. If you join on there now, it's free, but you're entered into a drawing for a free T. Higgins shirt that I just dropped not too long ago. Ace, what you got working on?
Yeah, I'm on Playback as well. Make sure you follow the End Zone Exchange over there. I won't be on Playback tomorrow during the draft. However, there may be some time like earlier in the day where we might look at a few prospects. Today I was on there going through my mock draft of just studying some of the trends. I kind of tried to do the prime without going all the way into the calculations, just on like the first round picks for all of the teams, and kind of came up with something there. But I will be on AFC North Talk, but I will also jump on Zim's joint as well. So you can catch me at both of those places tomorrow. And we might have to do a late night Cincinnati. I don't know. Like, hit that subscribe button, that notification bell. We might have to come and do a little quick like reaction to the pick, because we might be excited tomorrow, depending on what happens. So with that being said, we're all fans of Cincy. And speaking of being a fan of Cincy, let's talk about our partner, Fans of Cincy. Looking to book your trip for the Bengals road games this season? Go right to fansofcincy.com. All it takes today is a down payment of $200 to have your trip, tickets, all-inclusive tailgate, everything, travel to and from the airport taken care of. Bengals are going to be taking a trip to either Charlotte or Germany this year, Nashville, Pittsburgh, Dallas, L.A., so if you're looking forward to that and you want to get everything scheduled and taken care of, food and all kinds of stuff at the tailgate will be taken care of, drinks, a DJ will be there, definitely head to fansofcincy.com. I can say that it's one of the best experiences that I've ever had as a Bengals fan. You get to go there, meet up with other Bengals fans. I think when we went to New Orleans, they had a march of Bengals fans on Bourbon Street. This is a little video from that right there. I wonder if you see me and Zim in the picture. But they do all kind of events outside and in the cities that they're in. And then also you get to enjoy some of the foods and the activities that they have. So definitely be sure to check it out. They've gone on beaches. So go to fansofcincy.com today and book that for your upcoming season. This is going to be for road trips only. So if you are traveling and you are part of Houdet Nation, we travel very well. Definitely be sure to hit up Fans of Cincy. You can catch them at fansofcincy.com. But if you're getting ready for the draft and you need something to eat, holler at our people at Midwest Best Barbecue.
Midwest Best is the place to be for Q and wings. Say what up to Jordan Battle. We be going to battle. Intercepting balls like CTB did on Seattle. Putting six up on AZ. Juice gang amazing. Make sure you come get these wings. The Zimby stay blazing. And T game be smooth as ice. Jamal making DJs fold. TB got big levels. And now you are ready. So it's a pretty for Uno wings. Cam got the new wings. We call them CTBs. Only at MB's. H to the Zim. M into the B's.
get you some CTB wings, get you some Uno wings, get you some G-Funk wings, and kick back and enjoy the draft. Shout out to Midwest Best Barbecue, 669 Justice Court in Loveland, Ohio. Definitely be sure to let them know Ace and Zem sent you. Partner, did you want to say anything else before we get up out of here?
Nah, man. Enjoy the draft. Get with some people that get you turned up, get hyped, get fired up. I get it. You know, the Trey Hendrickson, the T. Higgins one, it's not ideal. But, hey, look, we Bengals fans, so it's good. The show got to go on. It's got to move on. I think we're going to have a good night tomorrow. I don't know if that's a bold proclamation, but I think we're going to turn up. I really do. I got high hopes for this. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, let's not let the Trey thing put a damper on everything. We do have a draft tomorrow night. Stay tuned. Follow me on Twitter at New Stripe City. Follow Zem on Twitter at Zem Hude. Also, don't forget to hit up the playback. Zem's going to have that going live. Stop in, talk to us, interact with us. Can't wait to hear what you guys' thoughts are on the draft. And thank you once again for listening to the Cincinnati Podcast.
It's an exciting time to be a Bengals fan.
We got a special show as always.
The voice of the Bengals.
Dan
Ford.
Willie Anderson.
Corey Dillon.
The name of this thing is called Cincinnati, and I'm not going to stop.
Talk to us about that roller coaster season.
I'm still going to give you the same AJ.
I'm going to work as hard as I can to be the best.
Always working ever since I met y'all, bro.
I got to get you a top five receiver.
Better, man. You're good. Watch out for us.